Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special episode. I can't wait for this one. We're here with Yvonne Barrett, but you know him from the greatest hockey movie of all time, greatest sports movie of all time, rookie goalie, Denny Lemieux. But before we get going, we're going to square away two things before this podcast is over. You're going to learn all the finer points in hockey, and we're finally going to realize who owns the Chiefs. So Yvonne, I'm so happy to have you. I say that all the time with everybody that comes on, but this is a whole nother level of hockey love, movie love. We reviewed this movie on our podcast. We got our Chiefs jerseys on. Everybody's representing, so we can't wait to talk to you and also your alter ego, rookie goalie, Danny Lemieux from the Charlestown Chiefs.
You're more than welcome, Andrew.
So,
That's fun.
yeah,
I
what?
started doing podcasts when we had the pandemic. I did podcasts all around the world, even one in Honolulu, because there is an American Army base in Honolulu, and one of the soldier was huge hockey fan, and he knew Slapshot, and he finally found me in Gaspésie, just like you did, and that was fun. Yeah,
So
everywhere.
before we get going, you have your son with you, and we were talking before we started recording about you have a website for hardcore Slapshot fans, hockey fans, movie collectible fans, and I wanted to talk real quick before we get into the movie about the movie memorabilia that you have, and I don't know if you just want to mention the website. It's DennyLemieux.com. And the memorabilia I've been on there, it's all personalized, and there's some really, really cool stuff on there. So I don't know if you want to mention it. A couple of things that are on there about personalization.
Blaze?
Okay, well, I actually built the website, so it's really a family thing that the website is really it's me and Yvonne. We created the website together. I did the programming and yeah, it's we tried. It's DennyLemieux.com. So when you're on the website, what we trying to do is that you feel like you are spending time with Denis Lemieux. So all the wording is in Denis language, and there is also even a chat bot that you can you can it's a little beige phone that you will recognize from the movie. If you click on this, you can talk with Denis Lemieux. I think you're gonna have quite a laugh. It's pretty good. It's using AI, of course, but it's quite nicely tuned. But the chatbot can be useful as well. If you're tracking your order, he can help you with all sorts of things, direct you in the website, and so yeah. And of course, I think it's the best place to buy pictures. First of all, the pictures are great quality. They're super clean, super crisp, and on very good photo paper, so they last a very long time. And of course, Yvonne, if you buy from Daniel Lemieux, you know that it'll be signed by Dennis himself.
Not that we are recording. The little phone is like the one I used to say, "Train me right, fucking
And then
man." Blaise told me,
no.
"Try it, Ivan."
Yeah,
So I went to the phone, touched the phone, and start talking to Denis Lemieux. I said, "Hello, Denis, how are you? I am Yvon Barrette." He said, "Oh, the actor who's in my character. How are you?" So that's a place to laugh.
We're laughing already.
Yes.
I was laughing when we talked when we were speaking before we even started recording, when we were corresponding back and forth, you had me laughing a couple times because as soon as I saw your face and I recognized the voice, I said, "Look at this guy. I know this. I've never met this guy, but I know this guy." It's good stuff.
Yeah. That
So
line is everywhere in the world.
there's so many
That's
lines.
crazy. That's completely crazy. I was in Germany with Tiger Williams and other fantastic hockey players from the Maple Leafs, and there were 30,000 people in in the arena in Australia. Those two guys came in and they did not knew them. But when I walked in with my jersey, Denis Lemieux was in the back. They all start laughing. That's unbelievable. And I take that jersey off and I'm off the game. I'm not there anymore. I'm not Paul Newman. That was so fantastic to work with Paul Newman. You know, I'm an actor. And they went in Quebec because they were looking for a short, squat French Canadian to portrait the goalie. In Johnstown, the goalie was a French Canadian guy and he lives in Abitibi. But he was not an actor, and I had the acting job to do in that character. And I was studying at the National Theatre School to start my acting career. And Newman was one of my American idols. He was fantastic. He started the Actors Studio in New York with a lot of other great actors. And I live in Gaspésie, which is 500 miles east of Montreal, in a little town. I'm still there 50 years after. And I received a call at 9 o'clock in the morning from somebody from the Union des Artistes in Montreal. And she asked me, "Would you like to do a movie with Paul Newman?" I said, "Sure." And I closed the phone because I was helping one of my friends with his animals. And when I came back, my wife was, "Yvonne, come here. That's very serious. You have to call back Donald Pilon, a French Canadian actor with whom I had done a few movies." And he was with George Orill and Mike Fenton. Mike Fenton was the casting director. He was the casting director of One Flew Over a Cuckoo's Nest. And when he was looking for a character, he had to find it. You know, that's this type of guy. So Donald told me, "Yvonne, that's very serious. Your plane ticket is at Montjoly Airport, and you have to be at the Ritz-Carlton in Montreal for 6 o'clock tonight." And I made
Wow.
it. So Mike Fenton said, "How did you make it?" He said, "You might be tired." So he brought me to a brasserie to have a little lunch, but I was not hungry at all. I said, "Please tell me about the movie. What's that movie about? Is it a Western? What it is?" And he told me the old stories. "Well, the movie starts on you," and ta ta and ta. Told me all the story. We went back to his room. I read the script from one page to the last one. And around midnight, I auditioned with doing the opening scene, and Mike gave me the lines. So the same day at 12:30 at night, I knew I was going to be Denis Lemieux
That's
all
awesome.
in one day.
Nice. So I gotta ask you about the Denny Lemieux character. When you first read how he was, were you all in with it? Were you like, this is the guy?
You know what? I am an actor, so it's possible for me to forget my own ego, to become somebody else. And I think that's a big opportunity that character gave me. I was not a hockey player. I was ready to do my own stunts in the goal. But the last day before we start shooting, it was Saturday afternoon. We were in an arena in a little town not far from Johnstown. I was in the goal wearing my equipment for the first time. George O'Neill was on the ice too with the players and the actors. And he asked everybody, please don't snapshot Ivan from inside the blue line. Okay. I was in the goal. Jerry Hauser was a little excited being on the ice. He came maybe 10 feet in front of me and slapshot me. And I made the save with the interior part of the knee.
Oh, yes.
But I was missing a part of equipment. So I fell on the ice almost crying. George O'Neill came to me and said, are you okay, Ivan? I said, I made the save. So he sent me to the Johnstown Hospital with his limousine and his chauffeur. And I was there and very nervous because the shooting was not even start and I wasn't there. So they're going to take somebody else and ta ta ta. And they asked the hockey team goal doctor to come and check my knee and ta ta ta. And he put me on crutches for 3 weeks. And we were starting Monday. It was Saturday afternoon. So I went back to the hotel. I was in my bed. Lindsay Krause came to me and said, she said, Ivan, I'm going to change your eyes and take care of you. And yes, but I was almost depressed. And then, surprise, Paul Newman entered the room with a fruit basket and a bottle of Finn Napoleon. Then it was George O'Neill with the Screw magazine. He said, you will have some good time. And a few minutes later, all the other players from the team came into the room and they had composed a song for me just to tell me that there were no problem. I will be Denis Lemieux. I was so impressed by that gentleness, that, you know, it was unbelievable. It was, and when you feel that sort of emotion, you have to be the best.
Yep.
Just to show them that they were right. And I think that's what I did.
So, Avon, that's almost like, even though it was a movie, it was almost like a team bonding, like it actually happens in real hockey. And
yeah,
it's kind
absolutely.
Of
a, yeah, yeah, it, absolutely. And yeah, the hockey player were helping the actors, and the actors were helping the hockey players. We became like brothers, you know, and it will be 50 years that we made that movie. But since 2002, we are doing fundraising. And it all start when somebody who became a friend, Kendrick, saw some picture that Blaise had put of the characters or portrait in the Quebec movie. And the last one I had done, I was a patriot with a big bird and
beard, big beard.
Yeah. And he said, "Were you the goalie in Slap Shot?" I said, "Yes." "He would you like to sign puck for me?" I said, "Why?" I'm not a collector, you know, not at all. And that was the first time a movie was coming back to me from 76 to 2001. So he sent me the pucks. He was working for a coffee company. And I signed the puck. "What do you want me to sign in the puck?" I said, "Denis Lemieux, number one, Yvon Barrette, da, da, da." And I signed the puck and I put some call sheet from the movie. And from those call sheet, he was able to be in touch with most of the actors. And doing that, he met the two sisters, the two blonde sisters, Louise and Janet Arthurs, and realized that Louise was having multiple sclerosis. And Ken is a very sensitive guy, so he came back to me and he said, "Yvon, would you mind help me to raise money for Louise through the Slapshot funds?" I gave my original script, and everybody did give a jersey or something from the movie. And for the first time since 77, at the premiere in Montreal, the first reaction I had at the premiere, that's unbelievable. We were in the hall waiting to see the people. They were shooting at 5:30, and the premiere was at 7:30. Nancy Dowd was there, Alan Nichols, Jean Tétrault. We were all there expecting to see Big Laugh. The first guy who came out of the theater was an Irish guy, maybe 70 years old, a huge fan of the Montreal Canadiens. And he walked straight to me and he said, "You're a disgrace for hockey." I was expecting fun.
Listen, I disagree totally. That movie is it is
yes, some... but you know, I was not used to cult movie. Yeah, I never did other cult movies, but doing signing the pucks for Ken Blake, and we went back for the first time one night in Philadelphia. Louise was dropping the puck from her wheelchair, and the day after we went back to Johnstown, where we had done shoot the movie, and in two games we raised $25,000 to help Louise. So I said, "Wow, there is something to do with that movie."
Absolutely. Yeah,
then since 2001, four times in Germany, one in Australia, and we did at least 5 or 6 fundraisings every summer with sport
events,
Blue Ball, yeah, sports event.
So Oh, go
here
ahead.
We are talking about Snapchat.
Before I take over the whole podcast with my side of the Slapshot questions, I want Tom and Ed to ask a few. Tom, what do you got for Vaughn?
Sure. What was your initial reaction to the script when you first read it? Did you think it would become what it did?
I thought it was brilliant. And it's still in my mind the most brilliant script about hockey. Every hockey team watch it in the bus when they are going to play somewhere. When there was a bus accident in Saskatchewan a few years ago, they found the DVD of Slapshot just by the bus. You know, it's in Germany, it's in Sweden, it's everywhere. I had to learn German lines. instead of who owns the Chiefs, Wim gehört the Chief, Gehören,
We'll get to the bottom of that too. Ed, question for Yvonne.
Sure, Yvonne, did you play growing up? Did you play any hockey where you could kind of derive some of the your experience growing up playing hockey by to the movie?
I did play a little hockey, but that was not my favorite sport. Basketball and football were my sports. That's it. But anyway, the thing is, as soon as I wrote the script, I read the script, I became a hockey player. I had the opportunity to share my life in Johnstown with Jean Tétrault, who was playing for the Jets. And he was one of the best players of the Jets at this time. So I was following that guy everywhere, and I became like a hockey player minded. That's it, and it's still there, you
I got to
know.
ask you about Paul Newman. Like, what was your overall experience with Paul Newman? I know you touched on it a little bit, but was he very welcoming with all of the hockey players? Because I had heard that he got the role because he could actually skate. And when, before he passed away, he said out of all the movies he ever did, that was his personal favorite because it was closest to his heart. So between like all the great movies that Cool Hand Luke, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, The Sting, that's the movie that sticks out in his mind as his favorite movie he ever did. That says something. So thoughts on Paul Newman overall on the set?
It was so nice to work with. You know, we had that scene to shoot, the bar scene. Okay. And he said, "Ivan, would you come to my room? We'll work on that scene. We have to shoot it yet." I said, "Yes, sure." He was the simplest guy I ever met as an actor. No ego. He was funny. That's all. He was in good shape. He was 52 years old at this point, and he was in very good shape. And I used to have a meeting with him to help him learn French, so he would be able to write some letter in French to his children who were studying French in high schools. And
Very interesting.
the fantastic scene we had to do at the bar when he said, "I think that guy is a fire crazy. He has a big cock like a whore." He was unable not to stop laughing. We had some good fun. And when we just before we start shooting the movie, the Jets were in finals in series against Buffalo, but it was impossible for him to just come and watch the game in the stands. You know, everybody was running after him with Kodaks and da, da, da. So I was the guy who came with him in the journalist booth upstairs, and he had a kind of big thermos. It was looking like a gut bag where we were able to put 10 cans of beer in it. So I was the guy who filled the thermos between periods. We were pretty close.
Tom, you're
He
up with a
was so nice.
question. Sure. Did they allow you to improvise any lines, or did you have to go straight from the script?
Oh, that's another thing. That's a short story, but important. When the Jets doctor put me on crutches for 3 weeks, He told me, Ivan, if I see you at the bar, you will be kicking the ass. That's what he told me. So I was not working the first week. I was at the bar without my conscience. Anyway, I was a young actor, and I had no feeling. Did you like the way I work? What? Nothing like that. But anyway, I'll tell you a short parenthesis. I am sober for 40 years. I was not. So one night I was at the bar and I stupidly decided to call George Real, the director, at his room. He said,
At what time in the morning?
No, at 12, yeah, around midnight. And he take the phone and said, hello? Oh, it's Ivan. I would like to talk to you. What do you want to talk about? See you at breakfast. I have to be up at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I said, oh, yes. No, I was realizing the mistake. So the morning after, I went to the breakfast. And when he saw me coming in, he stood up and walked to me. He said, what do you want to talk about? I'll call you tonight. So we became very close together. And you see, when you ask, whereas, did I add some? We had to dress as a goalie at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was around 6 o'clock. They were shooting scenes in the locker room. I was dressed as a goalie, sitting in front of the locker room, waiting for my scene. I had to do a scene, you know. And George Real, when the scene was shoot, when they were over, he came to me and said, Ivan, forget the lines. Do me an epileptic crisis. So that's where, you know.
Ed,
he
question.
Make you all the time. You.
are you surprised on how almost after 50 years, how much you touch generations of hockey fans?
Yeah. I was always a hockey fan. I'm still a hockey fan. 2 years ago, I was invited by the Montreal Canadiens as a surprise in the locker room. They were playing again, the Hurricanes. That was fantastic. You know, I was called to tell the lineup, the starting lineup.
That's awesome.
But I start by saying, hey guys, you have to avoid penalties tonight. You're fighting a hurricane. And I end the talk by saying, but please, don't treat me right fucking now. No,
oh,
it's...
go ahead. I got to ask you.
No, it's okay.
So there's so many memorable parts with you in the movie. Is there anything that you know of for all the people that are diehard Slapshot fans that got cut out of the movie? Is there any, like, really good scenes that were cut right out of the movie that you would love to see them add back in?
You know, the script was respected, really, from the bottom to the end. And sometimes when I was talking with Yvan Ponton, who was playing the French guy who doesn't speak at all. I had to tell him in French and go and write what I had said into the script. And Judge Real came to me and said, Yvonne, what did you write? Is it good? Is it okay? But later in the movie, he came to me and said, Yvonne, be careful, you speak too well.
You gotta go pee pee. No, I'm okay. Tom, question for Yvonne.
Sure. Was there any scenes that you had at the time that were especially challenging? Because none of you got, you weren't really a, I mean, you did play hockey, but were there any scenes that really you had a hard time with?
Not really, you know, because Universal never put me in situation that might bring me unfeeling well, you know. They finally understood that I was better to be, and I was doubled by Ron Dokken, who was the first one goalie with the Jets. And he was lefty and I'm right hand. So it was impossible for me to get back in the goals. Anyway, he did the dangerous job. And very well. Yeah.
Eddie, question for Yvonne?
Sure. Yvonne, what was your favorite scene out of the whole movie, whether you were in it or it was just when you saw the whole movie put together, what was your favorite scene?
My favorite scene. For me, the opening scene, yeah, brings the movie in and brings the ladies in the hockey world. And, you know, and I shoot that scene at the end of the movie, maybe one of the last days. And when we rehearsed the movie before starting shooting, we went on an army base, and we were rehearsing in the gymnasium. And when we were shooting the opening scene, we were sitting on a bench, but we were in a gymnasium, and there were little fountain just there. So when Andrew Duncan put me the mic and I moved and I went to the fountain and had some water. And when I came back, he was trying to put me my mic back. And when we shoot the scene, it was in a radio station. And George Real had the fountain put on the wall. And that was one take scene, because when we were rehearsing, I hit the floor with the
hockey stick.
Yeah, my hockey stick. But when we start shooting, Andrew became a little nervous and his leg came up. And I hit his leg. So his face changed completely. It was impossible to do that.
So we're getting a little frozen here with the internet a little bit, but I just wanted to know, like, thoughts on the Hansen brothers.
You know, they were young. They were young hockey players, and they were feeling like the stars of the movie. And that's why, as soon as the movie was released, they start doing two other movies. Publicity. They almost left hockey. But for the people, the funniest character is Danny Lemieux. And it That's not my problem. That's the script, you know. And our movie was written because the guy you portrait author is the best. He was the best player of the Jets, but he was so badly injured by a stick in the back. He was supposed to do the Blackhawks at the autumn, but he was unable to go there. So he phoned his daughter Nancy, that was in Los Angeles learning how to write script. He asked her to come in Johnstown and try to do something from that situation. So she spent a month there putting some tape recorders in the locker rooms. She got the language. So that's where it becomes almost a documentary. And that's why Slapshot works.
My next
That's
question was going to be, if they ever were to do a remake after 50 years of the exact original movie, would you be for that if they asked you to come back as yourself? Would you be into it?
that might be funny, you know?
It would be funny to ha
I was
have you as
13
the Joe
years old,
McGrath character.
79 now. I don't think so. I don't think so. There is something else to do, maybe with the, but try to bring all good guys together. You know what? I saw pictures from Slapshot remade by the IA, Denis Lemieux like a child. You know, they use our voice. They can do anything with what they have already.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Tom, question for Yvonne.
Are you recognized often by fans because of the movie?
Oh, yes, for sure. Absolutely. Yeah. 2 years ago, the Henson brothers came and we did the. Three Quebec Junior Hockey Town the same weekend, three different arena. We filled the arenas, we did the drop puck, we were signing pictures all through the game, and it's unbelievable. Dave Hudson said he never knew that it was so popular in Quebec. In
And
Quebec, they did the French translation. That was the first American movie translated in Quebec, you know, in Quebecois. So people are crazy about it.
Eddie, question?
sure. What is there any talk about everybody getting back together after 50 years to do kind of a reunion show, kind of like what Cheers did, have everybody kind of get up on the stage of all the surviving cast members?
We are hoping to do something for our 50th anniversary, and we are so we have so much fun when we are together. That's crazy. Blaise came with us in Pittsburgh, and he was on the shooting at 5 years old. Blaise, yeah. He had an argument with Paul Newman in the elevator. He was trying to put a ball in a box, but it was not fitting. So Newman said, your box is too big. No, too
No,
small.
he said, well, I don't remember. I was told the story, but he said that the box was too small. the ball was too big, and I said, no, it's the box that is too small.
And one other thing. He went on the shooting. He was with us for at least a week or two.
2 weeks, I think.
He was walking on the ice because when George Will wanted some reaction from the crowd, he has a voice. He said, background action. Okay. So Blaise had a coffee cup. He was walking on the ice. He had took the bottom off and he was saying, background action, background action. Nobody were reacting. So I saw him and I group maybe 50 people together. And I said, look at him. I will bring him in front of you. And when he'll say background action, throw him papers and everything. So he came in front and said background action. Anyway, that's a great memory.
Yvonne, I got to ask you about all the memorable scenes, like you were talking about the Ned Braden conversation. Is there any scenes that you were doing that you just, after you said the lines, everybody couldn't keep a straight face? Like you just have to keep doing it because it was so funny that it was just tough to get people not laughing when you were doing scenes.
Yeah. You know, that was very special for me. I fly into Johnstown around midnight. I had the last script to read. We were supposed to read the scenes at 8 o'clock in the morning. You know, I was sitting with Newman, George, or, you know, and I read the opening scene, and they all start laughing. I never saw that before anywhere. But we're still like brothers, and that's what's so different. Yeah, I did maybe 20 movies, but they might not even recognize me.
I gotta ask you, if the Denny Lemieux character 50 years from the movie, what do you think the Denny Lemieux character would be doing right now?
I don't know. I don't know. It is always with me.
He's not sleeping with old goalies, is he?
I'm so surprised, you know. Even Bobby Hull, they know all the professional hockey players know me, and they like the movie, and you know, it took a while before they accepted it. You know, at first I was a disgrace for hockey.
I don't think so. That's just my opinion, but definitely not.
They finally realized that I was not a disgrace.
maybe those Syracuse Bulldogs, but not you guys. You guys are the toughest team in the Federal League.
I think so too.
Tom, question for Yvonne.
Sure. How difficult was it for you to do an English language film as a French Canadian?
Oh, it was. At first, I was a little afraid because I thought the joke might be not funny, but it was very well translated, and I came into the studio and did my job and became familiar with the lines too. I had to, you know, I had been working for so long in English, and I thought it was impossible to translate without losing the fun.
Ed, question for Yvonne.
I just, you know, I think one of my favorite scenes is when you guys are coming off the ice and you say, "My allergies to the fucking fans has returned." And the first time I saw the movie and I saw you say that, I could not stop laughing when I saw that. And then my second favorite scene was, the hair, the hair.
Hair is
Oh, the
rotten
air,
here. Makes me
the
puke all the
It's not just that, it's when he comes in the locker room and falls down in the corner and they try to calm him down and nobody really knows what's wrong with him, and the sticks are moving in the, on the side. It's that's priceless. I gotta, was that ad-libbed?
Yeah. I yeah, maybe yeah. But as I told you, everything was written, except a few ones who George Orwell came to me and said, "Forget that and do that." And but that was close to what was written. And I'm very good at epileptic crisis. I can do.
And I'm sure, like we were talking about before we started recording, what is your the quote that people ask you the most for on an autographed picture?
That's an easy one.
No, the big line is always "treat me right fucking now." That's it. And the funny thing is that is the same line in French. I ask, "Hey Ned, what's échangé en anglais? Treat me right fucking now. Treat
Hang
me
up.
right fucking
No, nobody ever asked you to write down, tell Detroit bullshit. Nobody ever asked for that.
I call Detroit, tell them bullshit. I wrote that one too.
Tom, question for Yvonne.
Have you kept in touch with the surviving cast members?
As I told you, we met a few times a year since 2003 to do fundraising, and it's always fantastic. Blaise came with us. It took something like 300 pictures. Look,
That is great.
That's awesome.
yeah, and we have a plan for the 50th anniversary. Some people in the States would like to put all the survivors in a bus to do little towns and do sign in and make a movie out of it,
Oh.
like a documentary. That might, but they have to do it fast.
It's your allergies. It's your allergies.
Oh, my allergies, those fans return. Makes me puke. Yeah. Good lines, eh?
Awesome. You didn't even do the who owns the Chiefs. Ah, fuck it. I'll
Huh?
go ask them myself.
Owns.
I don't care who
I don't
owns the
care
Chiefs.
who owns the Chiefs.
Oh my God, that's
I
great.
go to Florida and I get the money.
Awesome. Awesome. Ed, question for Yvonne.
Sure. What's your favorite Pacer memorabilia that you have for yourself that you want to keep? Like a shirt? Do you have like a goalie pad and a glove or a blocker?
Ed
You know,
missed
like
your
on.
initial conversation, Vaughn. He wasn't on when we were talking about how Universal is holding you guys hostage with
Yeah,
memorabilia.
okay. Yeah, they kept everything. The
Really?
mask I'm using is the one I had made for my grandson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was impossible to have something else. But no, on our side, you may have mask that I will sign, and
Yeah,
that's
very
it.
cool. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
I love th that was the first thing that stuck out to me when I went on the website was the replica skull mask. I love it. I love where the signature is. I love the whole look of
Oh yes, even the lines.
it.
Photos that we have. We have 12 different photos with lines. Who goes with it?
Nice.
Oh, those. And are you crazy as a big cut like
You
or?
gotta ask yourself the question, if you're writing that on a photo, where's it going?
Anyway,
You might not want to put a
okay.
return address on that one, Yvonne.
That's a very, very nice podcast. We have fun that we were supposed to have.
So I want to kind of put this kind of end it a little bit with talking about the 50th anniversary of it. And what I want to ask you is, I know you were saying about doing a little tour with the guys and a documentary, which I think is fantastic. But in a perfect world, what would you love to see Slapshot do for the 50th anniversary? Because right now, especially where we live, they're doing a big anniversary for Jaws being their 50th year. And you guys are next year. What would you love to see them accomplish for the surviving cast?
But where are you living?
We're in the Massachusetts, the Boston area, between Boston and Providence, Rhode Island.
Okay. I don't know, but we're losing people every time. Since Trump is there, I don't feel like traveling in the States. Anyway, we have to go through that situation as fast as possible. He is having worst ideas every day.
And they're not bad hockey ideas either.
Yeah. Then anyway, that's all we want. Nobody's looking for shit.
For the 50th anniversary, I would love to see exactly what you guys were presenting, a documentary for the fans. And I would love to see, we were talking about it too before we started recording about, I'd love to see the surviving cast members make a cameo on the Shoresy show as themselves. And that would be fantastic to bring the guys into the fold with relevancy between the old school and the new school, but the same kind of vibe in almost that
That would
same
be nice.
atmosphere. I would
Yeah,
love to
that's
see
a good idea. Right? Good
I would
idea.
love to see you guys, the surviving cast, on an
We should
episode
call
of
them.
that show. Yeah, well, I'd love to have Jared Caso on the show because I'm a big fan too of his stuff, and he's a huge hockey fan also. Yeah, I would love to see him work you guys into a couple episodes where you're involved somehow with the team or related to, I'll say related to somebody on the show or something like that. That'd be fantastic. So.
Blaise realized that there is something very interesting happening every time we're all together. Memories come from.
I met the cast the cast members that are still here. It was
Pittsburgh.
maybe 2 years ago, for the first time, and so I saw them together. I was witness to that, and the friendship and all the memories. When they start talking about the movie, Yvonne has his memories
What I did.
of what he did, but everyone has their own memories of. So when they talk together, that all comes out, and it was quite something to witness. Really, it was and very funny. They all pull their legs and kid each other, and this was a very good time.
Like kids.
It's almost like I
Old
said
man.
before, it seems like almost like a championship team getting back together after all those years. Even though it was movie related, it seems like right from that first moment with the fruit basket, they kind of set the groundwork of it's almost like an actual team. When you see these guys that talk about their Stanley Cup run and how close they are with the alumni after the fact, it seems exactly like that with the cast of the movie. And it wasn't just the guys on the Chiefs that were close. It was everybody from the guys on the Bulldogs. And am I correct with that statement?
Yeah, everyone who have been involved in that movie playing for other teams are they're all close friends now. Even the people who were in the stands, they were there for all the shooting time because Universal was not paying people. They were having them chance to win tickets to visit Universal Studios, and even with the fans, we became close. We were invited. I was with Jean Tétrault. He was very well known in Johnstown, and we were invited to have a meal with people. So we were part of the town. Yeah.
Tom, one final question for Yvonne before we let him go.
Sure. My last question is, as you're getting older, what does being part of Slapshot mean to you?
You know what? That's the thing that keeps me young. And really, it that's the only movie who survived all those years, and everywhere in the world, even in Germany. In Germany, I dress as a goalie. Carey Goulet made his hockey career in Germany, and we were there four times, doing for a week or two every time, doing different towns every night. And the joke was, I dress as a goalie for the opening scene. I went in my goal and hello everybody, da, da, da. As soon as the game starts, the referee said, "No, stop. He does have the rights to play goalie in Germany. He doesn't have the proper paper." So I start running after Carey Goulet. "What have you done? I am in Germany and I cannot play. What's the problem?" And Gary said, "Okay, what can I do?" Da, da, da. And they sent two police with their car on the ice, who start following me and trying to stop me. And they grabbed me. And one night, one of the police, we had the possibility to talk before. He said, "Feel free to hit my cap with your hand." But I hit the nose first. So they grabbed me and threw me in the And after that, I said, "Oh, I'm sorry to tell you." We had fun, ta-da-ta. Say for him, that was a joke. And I grabbed his cap and put it on my head. And we had a young child with us on that tour. So I sat him on my shoulder and started walking to him with him, with the police. And I tried to give the cap to the police. And he said, "No, that's yours." "Wait, wait a minute, I'll bring
It
Great.
feels like
Great.
the opening scene when
I
when he leaves
told you we were gonna learn the finer points of hockey.
it is. Nice.
That's awesome.
That's great.
And we're gonna
I'll put this mic back.
put the mic back on. Ed, one more question for Yvonne before we let him go.
Sure, I'm gonna say, do you think that you, out of all the movies that you were a part of, did could you ever have this much fun with a cast ever again? And what is your, and I guess the second part of the question is, what's your favorite story with the cast at an after party that you can tell us that isn't gonna get anybody into trouble?
As I told you, it is always fun to get together, because during the shooting, I was still having a drinking problem, and now I'm so proud to show them that I survived, and I'm happy and everything, and I did some crazy things because I was doing, like, calling George Royal at midnight. That might have been a big mistake.
Questionable idea.
Chasing those
No,
girls on the
it's
pinwheel.
always fun anyway. To get together, it's Yvonne, are you? We are. We became like brothers. Nothing else, you know. That's it. Whoops.
Batteries are low.
Okay,
Okay.
so we'll let you go, but before we let you go, I just want to say thank you, and can we get a quick send off from rookie goalie Denny Lemieux to end this podcast?
Absolutely. Hey, guys, don't trade me right fucking now.
And hang up. All right, we'll let you guys go. I appreciate you guys coming on and with talking Slapshot and talking about the website and talking about the movie, and we'll stay in touch definitely.
Okay, sure.
Thank
Thank
you
you,
so
guys.
much,
Thank you very
Yvonne.
much for your time.
Have a great night.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Thank you
Bye.
very much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. All right. Bye.
Bye,
See ya.
guys.